Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, and welcome to our live Houston Cougars Texas A&M NCAA tournament postgame show. Robert with Stephen Kerr. And Stephen, Houston sports, it's not for the weak of heart. Texans, Astros, and now add the Cougars. They just don't do things easily, do they?
Oh, God, this March Madness thing's putting me to sleep, Robert. I'm telling you. Yeah, you are absolutely right about that. I'm having to do two things at once here, covering two different things. And of course, you know, my eye is very much on the Cougar game. And I come back here to the to where my studio is so I can talk to you. And I guess I came back a little too early because that's when the Aggies mounted their comeback and they go into overtime. But thank goodness the Cougars pull it out. Talk about how devastating a loss that would be, Robert, if that had happened. I mean, I remember the North Carolina State loss in the NCAA championship game in 83. That's probably the worst loss I've ever suffered. But boy, this would be right up there if Houston had lost this game tonight.
Yeah, and let me just start by giving the Aggies a lot of credit. I mean, just incredible heart from the Aggies from the start of this game to the finish. They put forth every bit of effort. I did not want to be an official trying to officiate this game, and we can get into that in a bit. But Stephen, the Cougs blow a 13-point lead in regulation. Francis, Cryer, Sharp, Shed, all of them foul out. Juwan dragging around his leg like an old man with this shin injury that just won't go away. Ramon Walker left for dead a couple of weeks ago. Ryan Elvin, walk on. Both those guys forced to come in and save the day. I mean, this is an incredible story. It'd be one of the great tournament games in NCAA history, except it's in the second round and it's likely to be forgotten by everybody outside of, over at Scott Holman, Cullen or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Robert, I know this sounds like I'm whining, and I'm not. I'm just saying it. The officiating just seems so lopsided. I mean, you look at the first half. The game just ended, so I haven't seen the full stats or the second half stats, but I know in the first half, Texas A&M had 22 free throw attempts to only 7 for the Cougars, and you had four guys with 2 fouls, and you had Francis with 3 by the end of the half. That's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, come on. You know, some of the calls were certainly worthy, but you're going to tell me that all of these guys are going to foul out and that, you know, there were some calls that I know in the first half, there was a traveling call that should have been called on A&M, but it wasn't. But thank goodness, you know, Houston has heart too. And listen, I'm not taking anything away from the Aggies. What you said is absolutely true. We knew this would be a tough matchup going in. We absolutely did. I mean, the Aggies almost beat the Cougars earlier in the season. I think it was in December. So there's no question that if the Cougars had lost the game, it wouldn't have been the officiating, but it's certainly worth noting.
Yeah, and just I'll make a note also to get in the comments. Noel, we see your comment. We're going to get to that. But really, the Francis calls were the ones that upset me a little bit in the first half because they were very questionable. And that's the thing. I mean, the last thing the Cougars could afford to lose was Francis. I mean, they're short already with Tugler. Jamal Roberts, you know, I talked about it. He's dragging around his leg. And I mean,
and he had 2 fouls too. He had 2 fouls at the end of the first half. So you had both your big men with, 2 and 3 fouls.
Thank God for Emmanuel Sharp, who carried the offense for the most part in the first half. 4 three-pointers. Sharp ends up the game. Just an incredible effort. And he was doing it on both ends of the floor like he always does. His defense, underrated unless you watch the Cougars and you know. But if you know, you know. Sharp does it on both ends of the floor. 30 points, 7 threes. And you just can't say enough about what he was able to give you because, you know, especially with the offense needing to be better because the defense just wasn't what it typically is because of Jamal Roberts, I think, injury. And frankly, the Aggies did a great job because they forced it you know, to the center. They forced the Cougars to have to do something underneath for a team that just doesn't have the type of depth that they need. I don't think this is enough, Stephen, to carry them through this tournament.
Well, I said that, I think, previously on a podcast, Robert, when we talked about it. I'm just afraid that the lack of depth as you go deeper into the tournament is going to get the Cougars. And I think that's absolutely why the defense was not up to, I mean, this was not typical of the way Houston plays defense. But you also have to remember, A&M's a pretty darn good rebounding team. I mean, they're like among the top in the country, both in total rebounds and offensive rebounds. I mean, they were getting offensive rebounds, especially in the first half, that the Cougars weren't getting. And that's the reason the Aggies stayed in the game for a lot of that. But yeah, you've got so many injuries. And then, of course, you get into foul trouble. That just compounds it. So this is definitely not the Kelvin Sampson type defense that we're used to. And I think it's just with all the factors that you said. But, as much heart as Houston has, you know, and with Roberts limping and, you know, Ramon Walker coming back and that sort of thing, it just still worries me that, you know, as you get deeper in, you get closer and closer to the top, that these tougher teams are going to expose these weaknesses and the lack of depth. But, you know, you got to take it one game at a time and take a deep breath and let it out that Houston did advance to the Sweet 16, thank goodness.
Well, watching this game felt like two games at a time.
Oh, it did. It really was almost two games.
Yeah, this was almost 3 hours on the clock. And thank goodness Wade Taylor struggled. You know, this game, final score, 195. Wade Taylor was 5 of 25 from the field, 3 of 13 from 3. Did have 8 free throws. Of course, everybody on the Aggies got to go to the free throw line a bunch, it seemed like, especially him and Radford. They combined for 20 free throws between the two of them, but they also got 13 free throw attempts off the bench from Garcia and Coleman and Carter. I mean, you look at the box score and you just, well, how did the Aggies stay in this game? You said it, Stephen, it's free throws and Radford, 27 points, 10 of 22. Missed some free throws, though, 5 of them.
Yeah.
And those were big ones, too.
Yeah, and Taylor, you know, they definitely did a good job on him. He didn't score his first point until the second half, and it came on a 3. That was his first basket. And I remember thinking at the time, uh-oh, if he starts getting the hot hand, Houston's in trouble. Well, yeah, they did shut him down, except for, like you said, the free throws. But Radford was the guy that definitely kept the Aggies in the game. And that's why, Robert, I just think this has got to be an anomaly with this officiating. It's, you know, Houston's a pretty physical team. I mean, that's just how they play. And so for all of these fouls called, especially, I know the first two on Francis were definitely ones that I had to say, really? So let's just hope this is an anomaly going into the next game, or they're really going to be in trouble.
Yeah, Noel says Aggies have a history of making last-second comebacks.
They don't
go down easily, so not a big surprise. But, I mean, when you look at the tournament ahead, you know, I don't know if you go, well, they escaped a team that maybe matches up well against them. But, you know, the team that you're going to have to get through most likely, unless there's something that really strange happens, is UConn. And that's a big team.
Oh, yeah.
And the Cougars just aren't, you know, they're not as big as they once were. And so, you know, keeping these guys out of foul trouble is going to be a big deal. But I'm going to just go back to Stephen. I'm frustrated with the whole Juwan Roberts situations because I thought that Kelvin Sampson made a huge mistake by starting Juwan Roberts in the second half against Longwood with a 27-point lead. I don't even know why he started him in the third Big 12 game, you know, after that injury. You know, of course, the shin injury in the Big 12 tournament looked like he aggravated it at the beginning of the second half of Longwood. They're up by 27. I'm going to repeat that. Stephen, yeah. If you lose a 27-point lead to Longwood without Juwan Roberts, you don't deserve a national championship. So,
no.
I mean, I don't know what's the thinking behind that. But, Kelvin, you know, at some point, you got to look out for big picture, and he just didn't.
Yeah, it may or may not have, you know, affected the fact that, yeah, he's still limping. I don't know the seriousness of his injury. But, yeah, it is a bit of a head-scratcher. I don't know. You know, again, we're talking the depth situation. But against a team like Longwood, yeah, you wanted to make sure that you built up a hefty lead because, look, you know, the NCAA tournament, anybody can come back and beat you. But I think the second half, he probably could have sat on the bench and, you know, rested the leg. Whether that really affected things today, who knows? But I worry about, you know, can he keep that up in the next game and the game after that if they win? And I want to go back to what you said about, you know, teams like UConn who are bigger. If you notice, Robert, the thing about the foul trouble, when you got both your big men in foul trouble, the Cougars had to play an even smaller ball than what they normally do. Especially
zone.
Early in the second half. So
that's
going to be a key when you get up against teams like UConn. You definitely can't afford to get into foul trouble and try to play small ball against a team like them.
Yeah. And Jamal Shedd, I mean, I haven't mentioned his name, but Let's go ahead and give him another great game. 10 assists, 21 points, 7 of 18 from the field. Missed all of his threes, 0 for 5. You need him to be a little bit better. And it would have been maybe a little bit easier game if he hits his threes.
Yeah.
Same with LJ Cryer. He was 3 of 10. 30% is not what you would expect. And he missed some wide open shots that you figure he's normally going to hit. So that was a little bit disappointing. Those guys are going to have to, they're going to have to be better. I mean, without 100% Roberts, without Tugler, you know, with as shallow as the Cougars are right now, you just need more. I mean, the only way you're going to win this thing is you need more from Shedd, you need more from Cryer, and you need Sharp to just continue to do what he's been doing.
Well, you need more consistency from all three of those guys. I mean, LJ Cryer, I've been saying this multiple times throughout the year, you know, he's supposed to be a good shooter, and sometimes he really is, but sometimes he really isn't, and sometimes his shot selection isn't what it should be. Yeah, you've got to have the consistency from all three of those guys. You know, Emmanuel Sharp lit it up, and I know, you know, in the second half of the Longwood game is when Sharp got going, because he was pretty quiet in the first half of that game, and he finally got it going then, and he certainly had it going tonight. Yeah, Shedd definitely could have hit a few more three-pointers that would have made the difference, but how about that poster dunk that he made late in the second half? Man, was that pretty.
My goodness. That's one of the most incredible things you're going to see from a guy his size, 6 foot, 6 foot one.
Put that on SportsCenter, for goodness sake.
Oh, it's going to be there. You know that. Yeah. And another guy that's going to have to step up is, you know, I haven't mentioned this guy's name because, you know, he's not doing enough really this year for the Cougars, or at least what you would expect from him. And that's Dunn with 4 points. He was 0 of 3 from three. I mean, he did have a big shot in the second half, as I recall, but yeah, you need more from Dunn. You need more from some of the other guys. I mean, that's where you are right now with the depth and that sort of thing. So, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe this bruise that Roberts has, you know, hopefully it gets a little bit better over the next few days. But, you know, playing late Sunday night, you don't have a ton of time. If they're playing Saturday, you go, okay, well, that gives you, you know, an extra day or whatever.
Well, they would be playing Friday. They'd be playing Friday, and then if they win, would be Sunday. I'm pretty sure it's a Friday-Sunday tilt with the South region.
Yeah, it would help if it was they played Saturday and then it was a Friday-Sunday tilt. Then they would have an extra, you know, extra day to work with or something.
Yeah, it certainly would be nice. And again, you know, we don't know what came into play of why he played in the Longwood game as much as he did. You know, the better rest, you know, the more rest, the better, certainly for him, because you're definitely going to need him in these next games coming up.
Yeah, the refs also, I mean, hopefully this is not going to happen again where Francis picks up early foul trouble and he's literally taken out of the game. I mean,
he didn't even start the second half. I mean, I guess it was a little bit of a surprise, but then again, not. You know, he didn't start the second half because he had three fouls and he eventually did come in. So, you know, they held him out as long as they could.
I had no problem with them bringing him back in with two fouls in the first half because you needed him. You needed him.
Yeah, you had to.
By the way, quick heads up. Monday night, got a really good national NFL draft expert who's joining me on the show to talk Texans, so look for that. Also, check out our new YouTube shorts. I'm mixing in current clips with classic stuff from our archives. If you're new to the show, you're new to Houston Sports Talk, you're going to hear some gems from our past interviews. But Stephen, this game, this is one of the classic Cougar tournament games of all time. I mean, I don't know if it's up there with Louisville and U of H back in 83, and legendary, but that was a semifinal game. But, you know, overtime, 13-point lead. I mean, just some huge shots, you know, both sides. You know, unfortunately, you know, I don't like this whole thing where it's just a bunch of free throws. I mean, that to me just kind of mucks it up, and it's not quite as interesting.
Yeah, no fan wants to see a bunch of free throws made. You want to see action up and down the court, end to end. And that's just where I get the officials. They have to call fouls when they're obvious. I understand that. But this is the NCAA tournament. This isn't, you know, this isn't the CBI. This isn't the NIT. This isn't even the regular season. This is March Madness. This is, you know, this is where you shine for national TV. You don't want to be whistling every 5 seconds and sending guys to the free throw line time after time after time. I don't know, you know, what these officials, you know, that they just think they need to call a closer game. Obviously, if things are getting out of hand physically, you got to put a stop to it. But it certainly wasn't the case in this game. So, yeah, come on, guys. Hold the whistles. Let the guys play. It's the NCAA tournament. And, you know, the Cougars, as I said, are just a physical team. They're going to play that kind of style. So blowing whistles against them is only going to hurt them more with everything else they've got going on.
Stephen, we've talked all year about the Big 12 being a power conference and being the best conference in the country. And they did not have a good weekend at all.
They did not. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, Texas bowed out. Of course, that really didn't surprise me too much with the Longhorns. They've been such an up and down team. And listen, Tennessee's nobody to, you know, is nobody to reckon with. So yeah, the Big 12 definitely had some struggles, but yeah, you can be great in the regular season, but at the end of the day, you're going to count tournament games in there. That's who really comes out on top. And yeah, the Big 12 definitely struggled this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about the big picture for a second, just in this tournament, because I've been about as bored by a first weekend as I've ever been. Tons of blowouts, lack of compelling players, lack of compelling teams, constant five-minute reviews and timeouts in the last 2 minutes. Perfect example. Speaking of a Big 12 game, Kansas-Samford. It's a mountain of reviews late in that game.
Yeah.
But the play of the game was a blown call on an incredible block by a Samford player. Steven, the refs blow the call, send Kansas to the free throw line. And the irony is, it would have taken all of 20 seconds on a replay to see the mistake. But you know what? With all the replays, that's something they can't replay. And it's just like, if you're still going to screw stuff up, like enough with this. Like I'm for the NBA system. You get two challenges and you know, or maybe one. And if you win that challenge, you get another challenge. And that's it. I mean, the NCAA tournament, it's there's nothing really exciting to see 30 minutes of officials looking at monitors.
Yeah. And isn't it sad? We've talked almost as much about the officials on this live postgame show as we have the games and the players. I mean, it's just not something you want to do. I mean, it looks like, yeah, across the board, we're starting to see this kind of thing. And, you know, March Madness is always going to be March Madness, but I think you would have seen some much better games if the officiating had been different. And they definitely need to look at the replay system and how it works. Now, you want to get it right, but I would rather have fewer reviews and maybe take a little bit longer with those to make sure you get them right than, you know, a dozen or more in a game and you get most of them wrong.
And just to put a punctuation mark on this tournament and how bored I have been, there were 48 games this weekend.
Yeah.
11 of them were decided by less than 5 points. So that means, according to my math, 37.
Yeah.
And I might have that number. I might be off by one game, but like whatever the case is, that's way too many blowouts. And a lot of these games weren't just decided by 8, 9, 7 points, 6 points. A lot of them were decided by 20, 15, you know.
And they want to increase the tournament to 76. Really?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
This is why, this is what I think 68 is too many. And yeah, I know. And, you know, in some years you've got the upsets and you've got some really close games and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, you couple that with all the things going on in the transfer portal, you know, in the one and done years, you go to college and then you move on to the NBA or, you know, what have you. I just think all of this is starting to take a toll on college basketball, men's college basketball, certainly. And that's why I think you're starting to see some of this rear its ugly head. And I don't know, you know, what they're going to do to turn it around. But the last thing they need to do is add more teams to the darn tournament.
Yeah, it's awful. And you know what? I guess the one benefit of all these stops is when Jamal Shedd's got to play every single second of the game, he gets plenty of rest. You know, he can sit down and have a cup of coffee. And, you know, when you're playing, when the last, you know, 30 minutes takes 5 minutes, that means he's basically standing around or sitting around a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's really something, isn't it? I didn't even keep track of how much time that, you know, what was it, last couple of minutes that they came back to the overtime, but it was a long, long time, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just, you know, to me, it's like the tournament used to be one of the great events in sports, and they continue, the NCAA, you know, the NCAA could screw up boiling a pot full of water, you know?
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And of course, they keep losing, you know, with the NIL things in court and, you know, all the other things. So, yeah, it's just college sports is definitely going through an overhaul, and not all of it's good. And as I said, I think a lot of these things are starting to leak over into not just college football, but I think you're starting to see it in college basketball too.
Also worth noting before we finish things out, if anybody's got a comment, jump on. But Jim Nance in the crowd cheering on the Cougs, they kept going to those shots, which was, you know, really fun. And it was just a big dichotomy, Stephen, as a Texans fan, to watch the Aggies. You know who their new big fan is, who I saw in a lot of their crowd shots, the new big guy on the Aggies side now?
Who's that?
Jack Easterby is.
Oh, well, wouldn't you know? Yeah.
He found a new favorite team. And
well, thank God it's not the Cougars. Let's just say that.
Yeah, thank goodness. I'm not a big, you know, and this might be an unpopular opinion among Cougar fans or among a lot of people out there, but I'm not much of a Drake fan. So I know he's now all over. You know, he was at the selection deal. And, you know, he can be kind of a little bit bandwagony and a little bit annoying to me. But Nance, by the way, in the postgame show said this was all guts by everyone. And that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Nance. Absolutely.
I'm just interested if Jim Nance even has a voice, because, I mean, he's used to not having to cheer on the Cougars as loud. He's used to calling the games, but he's probably a lot louder than he normally is. Cause I can tell you, being up with the fans and in that kind of noise, it's a little bit different than just trying to, you know, keep your composure. And when you have your headset on.
Yeah. I tell you, Jim Nance is one I'm really going to miss, you know, doing a lot of those games. And I think he's going to be doing his final Masters coming up next month too. So yeah, what a class guy. I had the chance to interview him many, many years ago. Just a class act, really nice guy, and just so intelligent. I mean, obviously he is. He wouldn't be where he is if he wasn't. But that's one voice we're definitely going to miss for a long time to come.
One thing about the Masters, though, Stephen, is you can lose your voice because you're just trying to whisper a lot.
Yeah, you can just talk like this, and everybody wouldn't know you have laryngitis, right? Yeah. We probably have some people with laryngitis after this game tonight, Robert. I'm surprised both of us are still talking after all this time.
Oh my goodness. I'm surprised. I am not in the hospital with my heart being checked out.
And I have a hockey game I'm covering too, along with this. So you talk about double duty, man. I'm definitely out of breath right now.
Well, we're going to take off for now. Again, we'll have shows this week. Steven's going to join me on Tuesday. Definitely want to talk some Astros. That will be part of the conversation. We're just days away from opening day. The Rockets have now moved one game away from a play-in. There will be some Rockets discussion at some point this week, some way, somehow. I will try to get me a guest. But, hey, the Cougars and one of the great, great, great college basketball games in history, but especially in Cougar history, pull off just an incredible, gutsy win to pull this one out in overtime. Again, four guys foul out. Four starters foul out of the game. They were down to Ryan Elvin shooting free throws.
When was the last time you saw Ryan Elvin come in to a game when it wasn't like a, you know, a 30-point differential? I wonder if it's ever happened.
Yeah, I if there's a Cougar out there that can name that game, go ahead, because I tend to doubt it.
I certainly can't.
But we'll catch up with you guys soon. And go Cougs. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.